and Saturday from 3 until 5 p.m.
Now joining us on See You at the Show, we have some of the stars of the production that we saw last week of Teen Spotlight.
Yeah, we saw that at the Station Theater, and it was co-sponsored by CUTC, or Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, and the Station Theater, and it was supported in part by the City of Urbana Arts and Culture Grant.
This was led by a workshop director, Leslie Smith, who's been, she's the CEO of Black Voices Theater Production, and we've talked to her in the past. She's doing some great things in the community, and she's been a great partner for the station. And we had teaching artists of Victor Ruiz Divas and Jalen Hope. Today, joining us by Zoom, we have Neve Bickerstaff, Alex Curry, and Alondra Ubaldo. It was really wonderful to see you all perform. So Alex, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're going to school, and what kind of your acting and performance background has been?
My name's Alex Curry. I go to Central High School, and I'm going into my junior year this year. Back in middle school, I did some plays. I did Once on This Island Junior, Fame Junior, and Willy Wonka Junior, and a couple of other things when I was younger. I haven't really been in many, like, since I started high school, but I plan to do it this year, but, you know, COVID kind of made me skip a year. So I'm really excited about getting back into theater, especially with the Park District and now being more open. I think personally, as a Black kid in Champaign with theater, I would have wished that I got more, like I got out more to see more opportunities. And I think probably one of the best things that like us as schools or in the community can benefit to Black students or POC students is to be open to them and like try to advertise to them, because I know a lot of kids that, you know, look like me aren't really shown that they can do something like that. And I wish that there were more things that would advertise to them and cater to them and say, hey, you can do this also, or hey, let me give these kids a chance, because, you know, they're probably new, they don't know much about this sort of realm as far as the arts. Yeah, that's about it.
That's great. Was it your first time in the Station Theater when you came for the Teen Spotlight?
Yes, it was. I had heard it multiple times before. My aunt, Amber Curry, she's done plays there before, but I'm like, I don't know where this is. And so even on my first day, we like turned around the corner. I was like, oh, I've never seen that place before, but it's very nice.
So when I was watching the 12 of you perform at the Station Theater, I was reflecting back on my acting career, and I realized in every single show I've acted in Champaign-Urbana, it's been a show written by a white person, directed by a white person, chosen by an artistic director who is a white person, and your aunt, Amber, AJ Curry, was the only person of color out of over 150 actors. And seeing the 12 of you on stage, being directed by people of color, and in the station space that means so much to me, it was really moving and inspiring, and hopefully a sign that things can change. Neve, where do you go to school, and what is your background so far in performance sorts of things?
Right. Hi, so my name is Neve Bickerstaff. I'll be going into my freshman year at Central, and my acting history. So the first time I ever actually seriously acted in something was seventh grade, right before COVID hit. Edison put on Curtain. I think I was the only person of color. But ever since I was two, I had been dancing. So I was doing dance recitals, stuff like that. So being on stage wasn't necessarily new, but actually acting and using my voice, that was what was new. And I remember, like, ever since I did that, my nana's like, oh, well, once COVID's over, we should try and get you into more stuff since that's something you like. And it's kind of just become something I've decided I'll definitely want to take more seriously. And so she was looking for things, and she came across Teen Spotlight. And she was like, hey, do you want to get signed up for this? And I was like, oh, of course. I was like, me? People of color putting on shows? Yeah. Of course.
Great.
And I've always, like, even when I'm watching shows and stuff, I'm always just like, I wish they put more people of color in this. I wish, like, I was tired of seeing, like, the token Black friend or the token POC friend, just the token minority. It was something, it was so old to me. So when I walked into this room and I saw nothing but people who look like me, have the same mindset as me, go through the same thing as me, I was relieved. Being in predominantly white spaces constantly, well, I'm from Atlanta, and where I'm from in Atlanta, I always, in school, I'd always, in my surroundings, I was always surrounded by people of color. So when I finally moved to Champaign in sixth grade, I dealt with major culture shock and surprise. I wasn't constantly surrounded by people that looked like me. Back in Georgia, we had like one white kid in my class. So, and the rest of us were either Black or we were, there were Native Latino. I remember walking into my first period and I was kind of like scared. I'd never been in large white spaces for an entire day. It was kind of like walking on eggshells because it wasn't my normal environment.
Like how you decided, because you all did, you know, you each did monologues or some with another student. So how did you decide on the monologues and stuff? And like, how did you choose those? Alondra, do you want to kind of tell about how you got involved and how you chose your piece?
Okay, so my name's Alondra and I'm going into eighth grade, and the school I'm in is called Edison. And I don't have a lot of theater experience because like COVID hit like in my sixth grade year, and they weren't really, like you couldn't take theater in sixth grade as a class. I don't know why, but you just couldn't. And yeah, I was like really shy. Like the first day of Teen Spot, I was like really shy. And I feel like it helped me a lot with my confidence because I was like one of those kids, like, I would stand up for myself. And I don't know. I feel like I've become way more confident and it's helped me so much. And I picked my monologue based on like the character. I just felt like if I connected more because she was talking about her experience for her first time protesting and she just didn't know how to feel about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And what about you, Alex? You did a is it a monologue? Oh wait, did you write this yourself?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Before I get into that, I wanted to add on to what Neve said, because Neve had like what they were talking about really like resonated with me. I know when I got into middle school and I've just grown up in Champaign my entire life, so being in predominantly white spaces was normal for me. But especially since theater wasn't a thing that I've ever done before, I went into there kind of being the only Black person I knew. And so I shared the role with somebody else, but I had gotten the lead role as Carmen for Fame Jr. But it like shocked me so much. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait, what? And so it made no sense to me. And then the next year we did Once on This Island Jr. And it's basically a play that's supposed to be about, you know, I think it's like the characters are supposed to be like Caribbean or from the islands. And so I was like so nervous as to what they were going to do. I was like, are they going to like choose like more people for this? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But they did it very well. So like my mother and my father in the show were Black as well, but just going into that and then, you know, still having to worry about, you know, will they look at me the same way as they did in middle school where they gave me chances, as opposed to high school where I was like, okay, it's gonna kind of be the same. And then I watched the show, it was Adam's Family, and I think there was only two people of color in the entire show. And I was kind of like, this doesn't really make any sense to me. So, cause I'm like, I knew there were more people that had tried out. So I was like, I just kind of left it alone. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it was very weird trying to go into that space that's not really, you know, catering towards all people. But it's kind of odd because it's like they're encouraging for the LGBTQ community. And I'm totally for that. It's just like include everybody. But that's right. Besides the point.
That's a great point. Both of our kids were in Adam's Family and they had two casts. And I was shocked too how few people of color were in, like,
when it's so disproportionate to the student body, for instance. And so that's one thing I think we can look at in terms of Champaign-Urbana, when we know that something like 30 to 35% of the people in our community are people of color. And when you go, and I just gave my statistics of being in shows with 150 people and there was one. So you look at 30% versus like 0.5%, that's a problem. And like you were saying at Champaign Central, I don't know, I'd say that that's probably a pretty equal proportion. About at least one third of the people there are probably people of color, but is that who you're seeing on the stage? No.
Right.
So there's, we know the problem, we just have to figure out what the solution is. But it starts with the people who are making the decisions. It's not up to you to force your way in if nobody is kind of like paving that road for you, I guess. But anyway, let's get back to chess. How did you come up, or why did you decide to write your own piece, and how did you come up with that?
Well, I think I didn't per se want to take one from the monologues they had given us. Not because I didn't like any of them. It was just, I was like, you know what? You should just write your own. Because they gave us the option and I've never done that before. And I was like, well, I should like do something that's related to like my Black experience. And I was just kind of lost on what the idea would be. And so then I contacted my aunt just to get her opinion. And she was like, well, like, that's so common. And like, you don't really know what you're going to say, or I forgot what she explained to me, but it was basically saying that you should do something that you're not familiar with. And so I was like, that makes no sense. She was like, what's something that you like, you're definitely not interested in, you don't understand, it's so far out from your brain. And I'm like, I guess chess. And she was like, well, there you go. So that's great. Basically just like a ramble about how I don't understand chess and I don't understand how people like it, because no shame to the game, but I personally don't understand the game. But she was a very big part in how I formulated this monologue. So yes, that is what my monologue's about.
Yeah, no, that was so much fun. I really, really liked that. And I love that it was original. And chess is, there's a Netflix show that has been kind of popular over the last year. It's about a female chess player. So it's funny that we've been talking about chess recently because we watched that show together, and how, you know, chess really is a very white game and also a very male dominated game. And so it was fun to hear your take on chess. So it was cool.
Yeah. And Neve, you led off the teen spotlight. You were the first performer. Where did, how did you come upon Heights, and what did you like about it? What message did you want to send with that?
So the main reason I picked Heights, I was like, I kind of want to do something different. I'm a very upbeat person. You're never gonna, not never, but like, it's rare to see me like in front of a large group of people all sad and everything and kind of just letting everybody see everything. I tend to hide things. I don't know why. Really only the closest people to me get to see that. So I was like, I want to try something different, kind of reach out for myself. So when I first skimmed over it, it didn't process entirely in my head. I was like, oh, this is cool. They're talking about how they love this person. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. I want to talk about how much I love somebody. And then I started reading it more and I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is like a sad song. this is like something, like somebody's genuinely so attached to somebody. And that kind of spoke to me because I like thinking about how much different people matter to you and kind of expressing that. I like thinking, like when I listen to songs, I like looking at the lyrics and looking up what this artist meant by that. And I was just like, the writer of this had to really think and they had to process emotions and love and what really makes you like a person.
What do you know about? Did you do any research into the person that wrote that, the Christian St. Croix?
No, I didn't, but I do wish I did.
He seems very interesting.
Yeah, he's a queer Black multi-genre playwright from San Diego, and he's got some poetry books. He seems like a really interesting person. We just looked him up right before we were going to talk because we hadn't heard of him. And I definitely recommend that you look at his website, is saintscrossing.com. And he's got some really interesting work. And I think we're reading plays by people of color right now to try to think about what we can bring to the stage. And small casts are popular right now because of COVID. And it looks like he's got some good work. We're going to have to check him out.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm so glad that you chose that because it like broadens things that we want to learn more about too.
Yeah.
Can you tell us exactly, so how long was Teen Spotlight? How many days a week did you guys meet? What kind of things did you do besides like choosing monologues?
It was 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I think it was.
Was it from 3 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, from 2 to 5, so that was like 3 hours. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so you learned about costuming too.
Yeah.
Right.
We touched on a lot of things. The first thing we touched on sound. I can't remember the name of the guy that came, but he was showing us tracks of like sounds he had made for films and telling us about how much sound really sets a time, place, and emotion.
Nice. And we also had a woman come in, I think in our last week, her name was Melissa, I believe, Melissa Goldman.
Yeah.
And she was talking about being a stage manager and just what went into that and how a lot that you have to do to do this. Like you have to be on it with a lot of people, make sure they get there on time, make sure everybody's in order. She even showed us like a book bag that she carries around to every like rehearsal or just every day that she has like a whole bunch of stuff just in case people need anything. So that was really cool. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Linda's been a stage manager for a number of shows.
You gotta have your bag. Yeah. It's like being the parent of the show or something because you have to be prepared.
Well, I want to hear some of these. I want to hear some of these performances. So, yeah. Alondra, why don't you? Are you ready to start us off?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so this is March by June, and it was written by Juan Ramirez, and Alondra Ubaldo will now perform it from the Teen Spotlight series.
Okay. You should join us, only if you really want to. Last night was my first time. Never thought of myself as an activist. In January, I came to New York City from Alabama. I was gonna become a respected photographer and express myself in ways I never got to before. That's when I heard them outside, walking by my building. I grabbed my camera and film cord board so fast that I forgot to write anything on it. This guy said he thought it was deep, there were no words on it, but if I ever did feel compelled, he gave me a marker. We've been marching all day, heck of a month if you ask me. And I even have beautiful pictures to prove it. Even as I looked through the lens, it all still seemed unreal, you know? 15 minutes before curfew and they wouldn't let us leave. This guy wouldn't go talk to them and they told him they were gonna beat us and throw us in jail. 1 minute left before curfew, and the tension in the air is so thick it was hard to breathe. The cops go on loudspeakers and say they won't tolerate violence. Everyone starts screaming. Some say they're trying to break us up as we move. Others say we should run. We run. The cops start chasing us, and all I wanted were some pictures. They led us to this small corner. This won't be good. 10 seconds there, we stood in silence. The clock struck 8, and there they came. Want to see the pictures?
Wow, that's great. I love your sense of timing with that piece, Alondra. You looked like it was your own words, and that was really powerful. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Neve, wanted to be here, Heights by Christian St. Croix.
All right. The first time we fell in love, we were at our high school's carnival, at the top of a Ferris wheel, looking down at the bright lights and tent tops below us. I lifted a hand to brush an eyelash off your cheek, but the small breeze beat into it and carried it off into the world. You were trembling. I asked you if you were scared, and you said petrified. I put my arm around you and said, I'll protect you. When we were back on the ground, you looked down at your feet and said, I wasn't talking about the heights. The second time we fell in love, I was home from college and you were working at the factory, and we were sitting on the rooftop of your parents' house, hiding away from the laughter and small talk that smothered us from the dinner table inside. Out of the cut of my eye, I saw you stretch your arm out into the night sky. Your cupped hand hung in the air below the minefield of stars. I asked you what you were doing, and you said, trying to catch a star. I said I'd help you and raised my hand into the air with yours. Later on the lawn below, after the good nights and the drive safely, you said, sorry, I couldn't do it. The last time we'd fall in love, I was sitting in your favorite armchair, staring at the gold-plated watch I gifted you at your retirement party. You'd insisted on mounting it and displaying it on the mantle above our fireplace. It had been 4 years since the cancer had taken you from me, and although the laughter of our growing grandchildren kept me from fading right along with you, there was still a place in my chest that wouldn't stop aching. I didn't know that my heart had stopped in that armchair until I saw you standing before me, smiling that wonderful smile of yours, that smile so dynamic and bright. I said your name softly just to make sure that it wasn't a cruel gift for a wrong I'd committed. You nodded and held a hand out to me. Are you ready? You asked. The sound of your voice, the voice I'd been missing. You put your chin in that spot where my shoulder met my neck, and we began the slow rise. I asked you what it was like, and you said, there's a lot of Ferris wheels. I looked up at you, and for once, I didn't look down.
Oh, beautiful. So touching.
Wow, you're a freshman in high school. You can't have been in love yet deeply
well, you
enough.
Never know.
I don't know, but like to speak with that kind of like emotion feels like you've been through a lot, and that is really well conveyed.
Yeah, thank you.
You got me a little bit, so I'm glad this isn't on TV, it's on radio. So that was beautiful. All right, Alex. Your own piece, Chess, inspired by your amazing, talented Aunt Amber.
I'll let her know that this is up so she can listen to it. Okay. So Chess, what is it? Is it a game of strategy? Is it something you play for entertainment?
Like, no, I'm serious. What is it? Like, I've never played, and I don't think I ever will. So where's the appeal? Why is it played across the world? Why do people enjoy this game? I mean, it seems interesting, yet boring at the same time. I'd say interestingly boring. Well, now I think it's plain to see that I don't even know how to play. It's oh my gosh. No one taught me, and I don't think that I would teach myself. It just seems so annoying. Like, why would I play a game that old people play? It makes no sense. It's a waste of my time. But at the same time, it's such a beloved game, probably one of the oldest that many people play. It's so common that there's even competitions for it. So where's the interest? It must be the various designs of chessboards. Or people must be interested in the mental workout to play the game. No one talks to me about chess, but no one has ever given me a very good reason as to why they like it so much. I only know a few people who play the game. The only time I was even remotely interested in chess was in the first Harry Potter movie when they played a big scale of wizard chess. Now that was fascinating because the pieces came to life and fought each other on the board. It was a lot more exciting than a boring old game of standard chess. However, the game still confuses me, so I don't think about it too much. You know what? I probably shouldn't think about it too much. I don't know. I guess chess is just not my game. It's pretty contemporary, so it probably wouldn't interest me as it does other people. Chess is a game that's constructed for hours on end with hunchbacks and a quiet timer nearby. Is chess something played out of boredom? Do people have too much time to spare? I don't know. Maybe I should learn the game to find out.
Great. That's so much fun.
Yeah, I was thinking about how that could have also been called golf. And you could almost. So I think if you want to perform that sometime with just replacing golf, I think I'd show that to my son Wade and he'd really enjoy it. Because it is a boring game that some people are for some reason interested in, including me. Anyway, that's really well done.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much.
I hope that we get to see all three of you in different plays, hopefully as COVID lifts or online. And if you ever need anything or want support or to come on the show and talk about what you're doing, we're happy to have you anytime. You're all three very talented, and it takes a lot of guts to do any sort of acting. I really applaud you for putting yourselves out there.
And we have access to a lot of resources in the theater community too. So if there's ever anything you have questions about, you don't know how to get a hold of us. And we also, if there's any sort of shows or ideas that you have of something you wish could be brought into our community, you have our radio show, See You at the Show, we have a grant that's just sitting there of $1,500 to put on BIPOC related art. And we don't know what we're gonna do with it yet. And I would love to do something with the young people in our community. So if there's something that you're wishing, I remember when that Seth Hubbard was a really cool, when Seth Hubbard did that reading from Fences, I'd never seen Seth do anything before. And I don't know if he's active in school theater or anything else, but that's the type of play that we need to have in this community. And I would just love to, and there must be hundreds and hundreds of other plays just like that are just as powerful, but that one I know.
And I love the idea of you guys writing your own pieces too, because I think because of COVID, we're gonna probably do like 10-minute plays and things like that for a while before we do full productions. And so if you have something inside that you wanna get out and you wanna write or you wanna work with other friends on, we'd love to see that type of thing too.
Yeah, because we wanna shut up and step aside and give you a chance for your voices to be heard. And it's hard for us to do that because we like to talk. but it's time to turn over our mics. And so if you ever have something to say, let us know and we'll give you a forum to say it, okay? Thank you for coming on See You at the Show. It was a great pleasure to see you, and Spotlight was an amazing success. Congratulations to everybody that was involved.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for third.